Welcome to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films, every Friday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Pacific and online at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. File this particular film under stories you couldn't have made up. And what I'm referring to is this terrific documentary film, Dusty and Stones. Director Jesse Rudoy intimately chronicles the remarkable ride of cousins Ghazi, Dusty Simulane, and Linda Stones Masibi, a determined duo of struggling country singers from the tiny African kingdom of Swaziland, by the way, which is now known as Eswatini, who long for their big break. When they are unexpectedly invited to record their songs in Nashville and compete in a Texas Battle of the Bands, Dusty and Stones embark on a long-awaited first pilgrimage to the ancestral heart and home of country music. Just a terrific film. And getting to know Dusty and Stones is wonderful, and they're such great ambassadors for their country, but also for country music. It is just a fun film. We're joined today by the director of Dusty and Stones, and that would be Jesse Rudoy. Jesse, welcome to Film School Radio.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's great.
Thank
to be
you.
Here.
As I said in the introduction, these are two really wonderful subjects. But of all the places and all the gin joints in the world, how in the heck did you meet up with Dusty and Stones? How did they come into your life?
The short answer is YouTube. But the longer answer, which I'll explain now, is, you know, I started this project really kind of back in 2016. I have my own fraught history with music and wanting to be a musician, which I think is, you know, very much the impetus for telling the story was to tell the story of not a successful or famous musician looking back on their career, but a musician really trying to take their first steps towards success and sustainability in their own career and get their voices heard. You know, my own musical history was actually in electronic music and DJing and dance music. That's kind of my musical background, strangely enough, because this is a film about country music. But, you know, I spent my 20s really trying to write songs, make tracks, DJ, and really wanted to make a go of that as a career, and found it incredibly difficult. And you know, it's so easy to get disillusioned and disappointed when you really see how hard it is to have any sort of sustainable career in music. And so I had worked, my sort of day job was doing kind of PAing and sort of low-level producing stuff in film and TV. But I got really fascinated with this idea of if there were, not knowing anything about country music, but I was wondering, you know, are there country singers outside the U.S. dreaming of fame and fortune and success in this genre that just seems so dependent upon being in the United States? It's kind of, you know, the quintessentially American music in a way. And, you know, again, not knowing anything, but knowing that if you're singing country music and to be successful, it seems like you kind of have to be from the South of the United States. And country music has changed and evolved a lot in the intervening years since I started this project. But at that time, you know, country music was very much thought of as white America's music. To put a more specific point on it. And so I was just curious if there were people kind of outside of this mold geographically trying to, who are lying awake at night dreaming of being country stars. So I just started to do a lot of research online, just poking around, you know, finding places around the world where there are pockets of country music fandom and where there were artists and singers and songwriters trying to make it. And sure enough, there are country singers everywhere. There are country singers all over the world in places that you might imagine, like Europe, you know, England, Australia, you know, that share a lot of cultural overlap with the United States. But there are major pockets of country fandom, you know, in the Caribbean and all across Africa and in Asia. Sort of doing all this research on my own, finding and saving the websites or the SoundClouds or the Spotify pages of these really interesting country singers that I was finding all over the world. But for the most part, if I were to sort of characterize what this music was like, the energy behind a lot of this foreign made country music felt like the artists were working in a way overtime to obfuscate the fact that they were not from the United States. So they would, even, you know, if they would be in, you know, Norway or Poland, they would be singing with their idea of what an, you know, an American accent, or, you know, talking about Texas or, you know, Tennessee. So that, you know, as an audience member, you might be fooled into thinking they were from there. And I got that because, again, it sort of confirmed this idea that I had had, which is that, you know, the idea, the mold of what a country singer is, you know, an American person. In the process of researching, doing that research, I stumbled across a very kind of cryptically named YouTube video, which just said African country music. That's all it said on it. And someone had, Dustin Stones hadn't put it up themselves. Someone else had put it up. And it was the music video for their first song as a duo called Home. And I clicked on it, and you know, within seconds, it just felt so utterly different from all of this other foreign-made country music that I had been finding. It was, these guys were singing in their own accents, and the video was very much about showing you exactly where they were from in this quiet valley in Windhoek, which is the area in Swaziland where they grew up. Which I should mention, Swaziland has officially changed its name. It is now known as the Kingdom of Eswatini. But at the time of filming, it was known as Swaziland. So there was something just very natural and effortless about the way they were making country music. And without having talked to them or learned their story, I had this sense that they were approaching this with a very much, this is who we are, this is where we're from, and country music is the best tool that we have to share that with the world. And I felt that from their music, and that really, you know, bore out in talking to them, meeting them, and certainly in telling their story. So that's the long way of saying what I said at the beginning, which is YouTube. I found these guys on YouTube.
That's a great story. And quickly pointing out that your observation about country music is pretty accurate. I mean, aside from Charlie Pride, who was a big star for a long time in country music, and Ray Charles took a stab at it. A lot of artists took a stab during the 50s and 60s, took a stab at doing country music. And now, as you said, it's sort of become, in a way, country music, the way that we understand, like Hank Williams and some of the big people, Johnny Cash, the big artist of country music, is its roots, especially when you look at Johnny Cash and June Carter. It's really folk music with an electric guitar and a slide guitar. I'm oversimplifying it, but it is an extension of folk music. And I think that might be a reason why it resonates around the world. It is about everyday life, generally speaking. It's about the travails of getting through the day and your life, your marriage, or whatever it might be. So I don't know if there's a connection. Maybe I'm overstating this, but I think that is probably some of the appeal for people who are outside the United States, that maybe it connects on that level.
Absolutely, and particularly in Africa, and it's important to note that, you know, Dusty and Stones are not anomalies as, you know, African men who are, you know, deeply love country music and feel deeply connected to it. There are big pockets of fandom in Kenya, in Nigeria, and throughout the continent. And you know, to your point, I think the reason for that is like when you go to Dusty and Stones' hometown of Windhoek and see how they grew up, these guys grew up on a dirt road in the middle of a valley. Their grandfather was a preacher. They used to go see him preach in a small church, you know, just down the road in the valley on Sundays. They would herd the family's cattle every day after school. So you can imagine
Yeah.
their first moments hearing a Dolly Parton song, hearing My Tennessee Mountain Home, or hearing these songs. Like, there's nothing in a way exotic or, you know, different about it. It felt like a soundtrack to the life they were living. So, yeah, I mean, you just have to set foot in the Moyhawk Valley and where Dusty and Stones are from, and you're like, yeah, these guys were. What other choice did these guys have but to become country singers, you know?
Well, as we get to know Dusty and Stones, they seemingly are open and friendly and beguiling and interested in other people and in the world and are blown away by the attention that they're getting. They just seem like just two wonderful people. But I'm curious about you approaching them, the first time you approach them about this idea, I'm going to film what you're doing. I want to be a part of, in a sense, I want to be a part of your life. What was the reaction?
Yeah, I was surprised to learn. So I found their video on YouTube, and then in the comments, thankfully, people had written in the YouTube comments like, "Oh, this is Dustin Stones from Swaziland," or, "We know these guys; they're our hometown heroes here in Swaziland." And so, I found their Facebook page and did some more research and was able to pull up a bunch more videos of them. But I reached out to them on Facebook, and I was really surprised to learn in our first, we zoomed shortly after that, that they hadn't, despite their love of country music, they really hadn't had that much contact with people in the United States. They had met Americans before here and there who maybe had come to Swaziland, or they connected with folks online, but they really hadn't had extensive dialogues and discussions about this intimate cultural connection that they felt with the United States and this American genre of music, country music. And so I think I was very excited to feel like I was maybe the first person to sort of ask them some of these questions about how they got connected to the genre, how, their history with the music. And I think it was exciting for them as people who felt sort of connected to the United States from afar to now have someone representing, I grew up in New York. I'm not the best representation of country music culture or the Southern United States. I'm a little bit of a different ilk of American, but just the same, I think it was cool and novel for them to be able to discuss these things that they thought about. And I was asking them big questions about their dreams and their hopes and their aspirations and how far they hope to take, this country music thing that they were doing. And it was really exciting for both of us to get to explore this cultural dialogue that had been happening via music and via the internet, but maybe not at a personal level.
We're speaking with the director Jesse Rudoy, and the film is called Dusty and Stones.
Really make an effort to get out to see this because it is really a feel-good film. It's hard to not say that out loud. You just feel good about not only about the trajectory of their story, but about them. I was endlessly fascinated and engaged with what they were saying and how they were going about living their life.
Yeah, that's not a word that I bristle at, especially because for me, as an outsider to their culture, as a non-African person, I felt that as an American, that Africa, stories of Africa that I had heard or seen on screen or on TV, were almost always framed through sort of a lens of crisis. Political crisis, humanitarian crisis, very dire, fraught stories. That was how I as an American had maybe been conditioned to think of life in Africa. Those stories certainly are true, and those stories exist across the continent. But it felt like, it felt important to me to show these guys who are not hungry, who are not poor, who are not, in the midst of any sort of humanitarian crisis, but trying to, live their artistic dreams and fulfill, their innermost sort of existential desires by becoming country stars in a way that would be relatable to the average American too, who maybe has, works a day job and has a guitar that they come back to and practices late into the night. And so, feel proud in a way and excited about the fact that people are seeing a feel-good story from this part of the world that is not sugarcoating anything or obfuscating anything, but rather just showing characters who I think might reminding characters that despite what news or other films may tell them, there are people on this continent who share the same dreams and the same interests as folks here in the United States,
Yeah, and what struck me watching the film was visually is they're driving to work, they're in a nice truck, they're driving, they're on paved roads, they're doing things that just as you described it, that you would see in any situation like that in the United States. They were just guys trying to get through life, make a living. And yeah, so it really struck me in the film to see that. It was a refreshing part of the film to see that. One of the other things that makes Dusty and Stones resonate is the town in which they live and the connection to the people in that town who are genuinely thrilled at the idea of what they're doing and how they're pursuing it. There's a country dance night, I think it's a night or whatever. There's an interest within the community. Mm-hmm. And I love that to see. I love watching that part of the film, watching the interaction with them and their family and their the community was just terrific as well. I don't know if I have a question.
There's a real music scene there. You know, there's a small fledgling country scene and community. And, you know, again, with my background in dance music and DJ culture, you know, I'm always been interested in musical subcultures, countercultures, why, you know, not just music itself, but, you know, how and why it gets made and sort of the, you know, the values and the ethos of the musical subculture and the community that's creating it. And it was really, really cool to dive in, you know, in filming concerts, and they call them jamborees, you know, nights that Dusty and Stones and their country music community would throw with live performance and dancing. It was just an amazing subculture to dive into. And, you know, they're not the only ones making country music over there. They've really inspired a younger generation of a handful of Swazi country singers to pick up guitars and write songs. And there were even, you know, a generation older than them that inspired them that had been making country music, writing country songs in Swaziland before Dusty and Stones got started. So, you know, not all of that made it into the film, but I would imagine at this point I'm the preeminent collectors and archivists of Swazi country music, because I made sure to get, you know, everyone that had video or, you know, albums that they recorded, which a few folks had, you know, I got copies of that from them. So I have that all saved and hope to do something with it someday, because it really deserves to be showcased. Most of that didn't make it into the film. It's really amazing to get to research and dive into.
Well, the reaction of the film has been fantastic. You know, a lot of great reviews in terms of people who watched it and like myself, enjoyed it so much. I really am so happy for you. I'm so happy for Dusty Simulani and Linda Stones CB. So for all the attention, whatever that might be now, whatever they're doing, I hope they're well, and I hope they continue to pursue their dreams, no matter if it's country music or what. But it was just two really cool people, cousins who love each other and care about each other. And on so many different levels, it's just a joy to spend time with them. So yeah, congratulations.
Thanks. And I would just add that a really amazing coda to the whole story is that just about a year ago, around this time last year, and I'm proud to say, you know, partially because of the film, Dusty and Stones made their grand old Opry debut in Nashville, Tennessee. They were invited to perform at the Grand Ole Opry, and that was just a really surprising, beautiful twist to the whole story. You know, so they made it truly to the highest heights of country music.
Wow! What a great story way to wrap up our conversation. That's fantastic. And playing with, I'm sure, some of the best of the best.
Oh yeah. I mean, the Opry band is unlike anything. And, you know, they, one of the, you know, they hadn't gotten the fiddle player hadn't been notified that he was meant to be part of the performance. And so there was this like crazy last minute scramble where he listened to the song that he was playing once and then went on stage without having rehearsed it with Dusty and Stones, and obviously nailed it, and it sounded beautiful. So, I mean, it was amazing to see how that band, that you know, to work with that band and see how nimble and talented they are.
Wow. That's a, oh my gosh, what a great end. What a great, I'm so, so happy for them and so happy for you. This is a terrific film. I believe this is your debut documentary film, right? I have that right?
Correct. Yeah, this is my first film.
Yeah, you did say that earlier. I'm sorry. Yeah, and absolutely. Well, I hope you're working on some more stuff. I really, truly think that you've got the touch, you've got the gift here, if you will, to this. And you're working with a terrific producer on this. You want to talk about Melissa a little bit and her role in all of this?
Yeah, this film was produced by Melissa Adeyemo,
yeah.
who's a wonderful Nigerian-American producer based here in New York as well. Melissa's career, you know, I came to the story from a musical angle. I think I understood these guys as musicians in terms of, you know, having been down that road myself. And that was my connection to them and how I came into it. Melissa's work and her interest has all centered on nuanced, vibrant stories about the African diaspora, which is a very important part of, you know, her her identity and her her work. The first film she produced, the first feature she produced, I should say, was called Eyemofe, an amazing, beautiful Nigerian film. So I think we, you know, together we were coming at the story from two perspectives that I think were needed to make the whole film work and the whole vision work. It was a story of musicians. It was also, we wanted it to be a vibrant and nuanced story about these African men that, realizing that we were in the United States, that largely American audience was going to see this, that we, you know, how we wanted to showcase these guys, who they were, and sort of frame them in a really nuanced way. So I think together we were able to do that.
Well, you did all that. So my congratulations on the film. Again, it's called Dusty and Stones, and we've been speaking with the director, Jesse Udoy. Jesse, thank you so very much.
Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Film School Radio, the on-air online showcase for the best in independent documentary and foreign films. You can find out more about the program at filmschoolradio.com. I'm your host, Mike Kaspar. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next week with another edition of Film School Radio.